All right, welcome to July 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because I'm a proud patriotic American. And hopefully the reason you're listening is because you are also a patriotic, proud American. So with that said, let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everyone stand up, face the flag if we have one. Let's put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah! Now on to today's show, Big Ford Day. Henry Ford II fires Iacocca. It's Harrison Ford's birthday. A judge throws out Bette Midler's case against Henry Ford.
But besides Ford, we're going to talk about forensic artist Lois Gibson,
Rams and Colts switch owners, and Live A premieres. All right, so now let's do this.
And it looks like it's going to be one of those Ford kind of days. 1978. Henry Ford II fires Iacocca. And, as usual, there are three sides to the story. There's Henry's side, there's Lee's sides, and the truth. Lee Iacocca, born in 1924, was vice president of Ford Corp., and he successfully marketed the design and development of the Ford Mustang, which is how he wound up on the covers of Time and Newsweek at the same time in 1964. In Douglas Brinkley's History of Ford, called Wheels for the World, as well as History.com, Ford authorized $1.5 million in company funds for an investigation of Iacocca's business and private life in 1975. Ford was not in great shape and looking to retire and hand the company's steering wheel to his 28-year-old son, Edsel. Iacocca started reading the writing on the wall and tried to gain support among the company's board of directors. According to Walter Hayes' book, Henry, the man who is Henry Ford II, Iacocca attempted to convince board members that Ford was senile and shouldn't be making any more decisions about the company. This gave Ford the excuse he needed to fire him. As Iacocca later wrote in his best-selling autobiography, Ford called Iacocca into his office on July 13th, 1978, and let him go, telling him, "Sometimes you just don't like somebody." Lee Iacocca went on to become president of Chrysler and turned the company from a financial ruin into a glowing success after convincing the federal government to bail it out. Iacocca retired as CEO of Chrysler in 1992.
2015, Law and Order publishes 10 sketches by forensic artist Lois Gibson. There are some good ones in here, folks. Lois's first real love was being an actress. She pursued this by moving from Texas to Hollywood, where she starred as a dancer on The Real Dawn Steele Show. But at age 21, Lois was sexually assaulted in an attack which nearly killed her and changed her life forever, especially when she saw her attacker get arrested for drug possession. As a result, she moved back to Texas, where she earned her Bachelor of Fine Arts with honors from the University of Texas at Austin and the FBI Academy Forensics Artist Course. She worked as a portrait sketcher for tourists visiting Houston, and after around 3,000 sketches, her practice paid off. She began teaching at the Northwestern Center for Public Safety and working at the Houston Police Department. Is that the guy? Yep, nice drawing. According to Lois's website, her sketches have helped law enforcement identify and take down 751 bad guys and have helped them solve over 1,200 crimes, which, by the way, is a world's record. Lois Gibson, everybody, check out her stuff.
Going back to Ford news, 1942, happy birthday, Harrison Ford. See what I did there? My man Harrison, Han Solo, Indiana Jones, etc., etc. Like a boss! And then in 1987, federal judge throws out Bette Midler's $10 million lawsuit against Ford Motor Company. I'm not doing this on purpose. Ford used a Bette Midler sound-alike voice for their TV commercials. The case brought into question if a unique feature, such as a voice, could distinguish someone and thus must be authorized for impersonation. Quick note in football news, 1972, the LA Rams and Baltimore Colts switch owners Robert Irsay and Carol Rosenbloom. Another great American-British alliance. The first Live Aid concerts were held at JFK Stadium in Philadelphia and Wembley Stadium in London. Producer Bob Geldof headed the efforts by attracting big-name artists such as The Who, Paul McCartney, David Bowie, Mick Jagger, Queen, Bryan Adams, Tina Turner, The Cars, Hall & Oates, Phil Collins, and Lionel Richie. The performances were shown live via satellite for 18 consecutive hours and helped raise millions of dollars for starving people in Ethiopia. And stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. And more Ford news, we will wish a happy birthday to former President Gerald Ford.
So that's going to wrap it up, my friends, for July 13th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what you thought about today's program. Like all those Ford stories. Who was right in that first story? Was Henry Ford II right? Was Lee Iacocca right? Was it both? Was it none? Let me know what you think. Or did somebody really impersonate Bette Midler? Or just a crazy coincidence? Are you old enough to remember Live Aid? And if so, did you see it? So yeah, let me know what you think. Now on to tomorrow's program. More Ford news as promised with Gerald Ford's birthday. Plus, we'll wish a happy birthday to the MP3 technology. And Pat Garrett catches up with Billy the Kid. So until then, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.